Reading for today from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 to 17, comes from what is known as the farewell discourse.
The meditations of our hearts,
unique to John's Gospel,
the actions of our lives,
this collection of teachings and prayers reflects
praise,
the understanding of the early church of the importance of Jesus some 60 years after his death.
Word made flesh,
John places the discourse just before Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem to risk his life for the gospel. To emphasize that when Jesus knew his life was on the line, he shared with his friends the most intimate and important convictions upon which his life was based.
Memorable.
Today we read the core of that conviction. Jesus' message of the importance of love.
Place,
and you will see that
hearts.
John comes at it from
sometimes
a variety
it's the
of
kind
different
of place
perspectives.
That makes you go, oh, yeah.
I have loved you even
but
as God loved me.
It's a kind of a cherished
abide
place.
Abide in my love.
For ministers,
when you obey my commandments,
there's always a special place in
love.
Our hearts for that first community that
just
you served.
Just as I obey God's commandments and obey and abide in God's
was
love.
Was a community.
I have
of
told you these things that you may be
the
filled
Arrow
with
Lakes,
my joy
in the Kootenays,
and so that your joy.
And I like
will
to tell
overflow.
People that I spent 4 years in seminary
this
learning
is
to
my
be
commandment.
A minister and.
That you love each other
then I moved to
the
Arrow
same
Lakes,
way that I love
they
you.
They taught me how to be.
There is no
minister.
Greater
those
love
long-suffering
than to lay down one's life for one's friends.
Who had seen those young, idealistic,
you are my
green
friends.
Ministers
when
come
you do
and must
what
have
I
just
command
shaken
you.
Their heads and said, ah, here comes another one.
I no longer call you servants
well,
because
we'll
a master
do our loving work with
doesn't
him
confide
too,
with his servants.
Too.
Now you are my friends.
I remember after
since
5 years
told
in Arrow
you
Lakes saying
I have
to somebody,
from God,
you know,
you
I
didn't
think I'm
choose me.
To get it.
I chose you.
I have a special place in my heart for those people.
To go and produce
there's
lasting
this Lutheran minister
fruit,
in Atlanta, Georgia.
So that whatever
Timothy Smith,
whatever
who tells the story
for,
of
in
his
my
first
name,
church,
God may
and,
give you.
And what he learned there.
This is my commandment.
In his first rural
love one another.
Pastorate,
hear what
he,
the Spirit
like many
is
of
saying
us,
to the
was
church.
This young,
thanks be to God,
whippersnapper of a pastor who, and he regularly used to give an example of what we ought not to sing with the hymn in the garden. Why would Christians, he would think, whose biblical faith values community far more than any individualistic kind of faith, why would we sing, he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Very individual. Like, and he would rant about this individualistic faith that is so different from the faith of Jesus. And until a good Bible Baptist went up to him one time after hearing this rant and said, you ever heard that one, that old chestnut, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he makes me lie down in green. You know, you're familiar with that one, he said. Well, touche. And of course, we have a personal relationship with God. But still, the private one is not a particularly biblical concept. Well, one night, Tim, in his first parish, was called to the hospital by a family of an elderly parishioner. And he rushed to the hospital, and he was there, and he waited for all the children to arrive at the hospital. And when they had all arrived, they gathered around this lovely, salt-of-the-earth old farmer. And they held hands, and they prayed him on his way. And as they were doing that, he opened his eyes, and he looked up. And he spoke last words. You know, sacred, holy ground, last words. I love every one of you. I'm ready to go. I love Pastor Tim. I love his voice. And I know he will sing in the garden for me at my funeral. And then he died. And through tears, the eldest son looked at Pastor Tim and said, "Thank you, Pastor. Daddy always loved that song." And by this we know that God has a wicked sense of humor. First of all, we never do solos at funerals, we pastors. It just isn't done. Exactly. But the principle got trumped by love and the power of last words. So that this old guy's funeral, there were three clergy colleagues sitting in the front row with smirks on their faces who had already heard Tim's rant many, many times as Tim sang with full feeling the whole, "And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own." Last words, hey? Last words are holy and compelling. There's a little known letter written by a Rhode Island soldier to his wife Sarah. Major Sullivan Ballew had a premonition of his own death, and he wrote this to his wife. "The indications are very strong that we shall move in a few days, perhaps tomorrow. Lest I should not be able to write you again, I feel impelled to write a few lines that may fall under your eyes when I shall be no more. Sarah, my love for you is deathless. It seems to bind me with the mighty cables that nothing but omnipotence could break. The memories of the blissful moments that I have spent with you come creeping over me. I feel most gratified to God and to you that I have enjoyed them for so long, and hard it is for me to give them up and burn to ashes the hopes of future years, when, God willing, we might still have lived and loved together and seen our sons grow up to honorable manhood around us. If I do not return, my dear Sarah, never forget how much I love you, and when my last breath escapes me on the battlefield, it will whisper your name." Gosh, don't you wish we were all poets like that, eh? The imminence of death is indeed sacred ground. And in those moments, we cling to last words in hopes of gleaning some meaning, some promise, some legacy. You know, there's a lot of transitions in life, and lots of transitions involve death that leads to something else, right? Births, even, are the end of one thing and the beginning of a life. Marriages, the end of single life and the beginning of partnership, of loving partnership. Graduations, the end of school and the beginning of a whole new life. But dying words, they have a category unto themselves. How about you? If you could say just a few last words as you knew you were dying, who would you say them to, and what would they be? I'm guessing that somewhere in those last words would be a heartfelt, "I love you," and some sincere hope/request. Take care of your sister. Take care of your brother. Take care of your mom. Live your life to the fullest. Something like that, probably. So here we are in the last conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. Chapters 13 to 17 in John's Gospel are exactly that. Jesus' earthly life last words to his disciples. And as he prepares them for a huge transition, something new, namely the ministry of the disciples to the world and the beginning of a community of faith which is heading out. And as with all births, something, namely Jesus himself, must die. And in that holy ground context, Jesus says, as my Papa has loved me, so I love you. And so you should love one another. What is it that matters when all else, including life itself, is said and done? What is most compelling, the most powerful, the most enduring force in the cosmos? What, as we prepare both for living and for dying, becomes the echoing refrain throughout the universe? Love. Agape love, the unconditional, self-sacrificing love that Jesus himself exemplifies. Albert Einstein's daughter recently shared a letter that he had sent to her, in which he said that the real spiritual energy of the universe is not calculated E equals MC squared. Her father's final equation to humanity was E equals love. And it flows, spilling over into the universe, a force that builds, that renews, that re-envisions what it means to be human. And how does one measure such love? Greater love has no one than this: to lay down one's life for one's friends. Of all the last words that Jesus might have said, he chooses love and relationship, even as he chooses us in love and sends us into the world to be love. Not a feeling or an inclination, but a choice to love others as God chooses to love us. And it doesn't have to be big, and it doesn't have to be bold, and it doesn't have to be spectacular. In fact, most often it's not the grand gestures of love, but the daily, even mundane laying down one's life, one teeny little act at a time, one teeny little intention at a time that really matters. I was walking this week on my way to the hospital in Victoria, up Begbie Street, and it was beautiful morning, sun was shining, it was a new day, and I looked up along the sidewalk, and there was a telephone pole that had been painted by hand. Beautiful flowers and hummingbirds, and there were three of them in a row, painted by hand. And as I approached the first one, I realized that somebody had also painted some words around that telephone pole. And the words were, "Do small things with great love, Mother Teresa." Do small things with great love. Lay down your life in love, one small bit at a time. Major Sullivan Ballew was killed 7 days after he wrote the letter at the First Battle of Bull Run. "When my last breath escapes, it will whisper your name, Sarah." These last words resonated in her soul. And the last words that resonate in the souls and ears and hearts of us as followers of Jesus As Papa has loved me, so I love you. Love each other. And that's how I come to believe that no matter how far you wander, if you pause and you listen carefully enough, you will hear a message that is both blessing and commissioning, both gift and calling. Listen to me, child. I love you. And now your job is to share that love. The first words, the last words, love. Amen.